Changing minds one thought at a time. Greetings, 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 everyone, and welcome to Motivate Social Podcast, where we bring you people who are changing the world via social media. This week, we are having a wonderful segment called Feature the Co-Authors of Dear Mom Anthology, compiled by our lovely Vanessa Canterbury, who is also on the call. How are you, Vanessa?
I'm great. How are you?
I am wonderful. So tell us who we're speaking to today.
Oh, I am super duper excited to be able to introduce this next co-author who's in the Dear Mom book. I met him via social media and me and him corresponded back and forth. Even though he had a hectic schedule, he was determined. He was like, I have to share my story. And I was so happy and so honored that he seen the vision and jumped aboard. So this is going to be a great treat to be able to hear his story. And Michael Witt, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am here.
It is such an honor. I'm super duper excited because I remember our correspondence back and forth. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a good one. So tell us, when you seen the information about the Dear Mom anthology, what made you jump on and say, you know what, I have to be able to share my story about my mom?
You know, my mother has always been an instrument in my life. I mean, very vocal. And when I saw that, the only thing I can think of is, you know, if I haven't told the story enough, I have to tell it more. So I thought it was unique to put that out there, that we often praise our mothers, but we want to be able to really, really give them the praise that they deserve. And nothing is better than that than to put it in written words. So I took that opportunity to be a part of it for that reason, for one of the many reasons.
Wow. That is wonderful. It's always a great thing when you get to honor your mom. And so tell us about the process that you went through when you were writing it. Did you get any revelations? Did you go back, you know, did you go back in time in your mind? What happened while you were writing the chapter and how did it make you feel?
Well, I actually did. I wanted to tell more of the story. I wrote a book that was released in August called Habits Don't Lie. And I spoke about a lot of things, a lot of which I talked about my mother. And in this particular time, I wanted to tell more about her, how to impact, and some of the things that it was still real because my mother helped me. She was always there to give me that confidence and that thrive and that go forward moving, because I was dealing with bipolar depression disorder. And I can often talk with her about it. And she would always have the right things to say. So when I saw that, I had to say, okay, I got to tell more in terms of how I was able to move forward. And, you know, it's just a blessing that she was there. And by the way, today is her birthday. And I'm so honored to have this call and even discussing her, because it just brings a lot in memory of what she was to me.
That alone is powerful. Oftentimes, we don't provide those roses, those messages, those thoughts while they are here, and it's for you to always carry that with you about your mom. That's phenomenal. And I know a relationship with the mom and a son, my goodness, it is so different. And when people don't have that relationship with or don't have a son, they don't understand the connection. It is so different. Yeah. And I have a son, so I understand. But my goodness, it's like really, really powerful. It's like the mom is really setting the tone for this man who is eventually going to have a wife. That type of relationship there, my goodness, I could go on and on, but I'm not going to do that. But I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Especially when you was dealing with bipolar depression, that's a whole nother ball game. Mm-hmm. And when mom sticks with you through all of those trials and tribulations like that, man, is absolutely amazing. So that's a blessing. And then you having this interview on the day of her birthday, that's another blessing as well. Yeah. What's the one thing, like the, I know it's most likely there's multiple, but what is that one thing that you will carry forever that your mom instilled in you that you will constantly pass on to the next generation?
Yeah, whatever it is, you pray about it. She had ways of telling you things, quotes, but whatever it is, pray about it. Prayer first. And, you know, it was so strong because you can hear it, but when the actions come about, she knows if you took the action because that conversation wouldn't even start unless you talk about how you looked at yourself in a situation where you needed prayer, you made it need more prayer. But just to keep a positive message in mind and a positive attitude, that was the drive that she always gave, not just me. Now, I always say, and I will say, I said in my last book, and I'll say in this one, and I'll say the next one, that I was her favorite child, although she had to do some therapy on them to tell them that she loved us all equally. But I know I was her favorite child. I was named Michael after an angel, so I always claimed that as being her favorite child. It was seven of us. And, you know, it was just a blessing to know that any of us could come to her, and the outcome is that you did you pray first, and what is your action, what is your next step? You'll find the answer, you know. So I enjoy those moments especially.
That's beautiful. And I just want to ask you, you know, you're sitting there, you're going through all these things. You always know that your mother's going to be your cheerleader. She's going to be that confidant. She's the one that's always going to understand. So when did you know that she was the person that was going to be all that for you? And when did you know that you wanted to write about that in this particular book?
Well, growing up, it was amazing because my mother was the only child. Her mother was, there was six of them, six girls. And she always, at that time, she always had a can-do attitude. You know, regardless of what the struggles may be, we can do it. We'll work this out. I really was powerful in my thinking of writing this and the passage that I talk about in my other book is that we was poor and didn't even know it. You know, we live so rich in spirit and we live so rich in love and relationship that when somebody told us that we was poor, it was like, what? Are you serious? You know, we didn't have a car. We didn't do the things that people did, but we had the love and the relationship because she had that gateway. It was there. My father worked a lot. You know, we lived in a two-family household. I mean, a mother-father household. He was away a lot. And she always was that person to glue us together, to keep us together. And, you know, it was just a blessing to know at that time, this is how I want to see a woman in my life. Is somebody that is always smiling no matter what. Because I talk about that a lot, about situations I was in. I can watch her. She can be very upset or angry, but she always had this way of showing a pleasant face, you know, a pleasant smile, a pleasant attitude. So I was truly blessed to take those qualities and share those qualities and find a woman in my life that has the same qualities as well.
That's powerful. That is really powerful because one of the things that I'm a believer is that when we instill into our children We want to make sure that they can be able to understand the qualities that we are instilling into them, so they know they don't have to go and search and pick up like maybes and I think and I don't know, but they would know, you know, because of what the mom instilled into them. That's my goodness. I understand. I heard from the grapevine that you are having a book signing with one of the other co-authors. That's what I'm hearing. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Well, we did talk about it. I am trying to hold my hand. We talked about it. Well, I don't know what got her to ask me the question about Detroit. She saw some. I think she saw my book and found out that she is a few miles from my brother, who's been in Virginia Beach for a long time. And we got to talking about the next time she would be in Detroit, the next time I would be there. So I took on a couple of contracts since then, and I'm trying to see how that's going to work. But that was our interest in having she come to Detroit. We'll find some way to connect, as well as my coming to Virginia Beach, Virginia area in June. May, I think she'll be in Detroit. And I was looking at Mother's Day airtime, and I think she's going to be here that week. So I'm going to try to find a way to stay in town and see if I can make those adjustments. But yes, that is a plan. It would be so nice to connect with someone, not just 10. I just feel the vibe of these amazing women. I happen to be the only man, but when you connect with people who are amazing, like-minded minds, it's a pleasure and it's a thrill and it's an honor to be amongst people who can speak openly about a given situation and let it be moms. You know, you can go on and on. And I saw the energy in people's posts. I saw the energy in the field for when this book come out, how excitement that we placed on this project. And I was so honored to be a part of it.
Man, that is, yes, that is great, because, you know, I love the fact that you took it a step further and actually connected, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, you do anthology, you don't really connect with your people, y'all just come together, write the book, and then go on your separate way. But for you to go ahead and start building community, talk on the phone, start collaborations, that is amazing. So do you plan on doing more book signings with your other co-authors or maybe even doing any other events?
Yeah, if the time and place prevent, yeah, I will. I'd be looking forward to connecting with people. I travel off and on, and I got a couple other projects going, but I'm always looking to see the opportunities that present itself. And it would be nice to be a part of a signing with multiple authors there to share their experiences. And at the same time, I know that people are thirsty for, especially now, for anything positive on this planet would be a plus. And what more way can you do that to express or share the experiences that you had writing this book and how it's going to help many just as a comfort to, you know, as something to look forward to. So that's what I'm hoping.
I'm a believer that you always, even though I have written many books now, always do more. Don't just write the book and let it collect dust. So
that's
very powerful that you know, you make those connections. That's why I always would say, make sure everyone is connected with one another. You never know who is in the area, what project that you could be able to support, whatever the case may be, because the book is absolutely amazing, like amazing. And every time another anthology come out, I'm just like, good God almighty. It's really like the version, I say, of the Chicken Noodle Soups, the Soul series. And these books are really helping and people to understand the power of having those relationships, and maybe some people who don't have those relationships, but just reading about somebody else who had a relationship with their parents is just like amazing. It's really a breath of fresh air. Yes. So I'm grateful. The vision that God has given me for these books, I never knew that it's going to go to this extent. But I'm also more grateful for those authors who have jumped on to say, you know what, I see that vision. I want to be in a part of that and sharing their story. So we all come together, collaborate, and we're a big part of, like, a big family of just supporting one another and sharing our stories and just, you know, keep it going in a positive way. And mm-hmm. I agree that people need positivity that's going on, because it's they were really hurting out here. So that alone, I take my hats off to you. What's one of the things that you would want the readers to take away from your chapter?
Oh, wow. Confidence. Can I tell my chapter name? The name of my chapter?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. The angel that gave me my confidence to go forward, not just confidence, but confidence to go forward. She oftentimes gave us all the confidence. But 23 years ago, when I was diagnosed with my bipolar, I knew that I was going to be free from it some way. I mean, if anybody know anything about depression and bipolar, you go into some aggressive medications depending on how they analyze. And I was Prozac, lithium, some of the powerful stuff back in the day. And I've been free of that for 13 years. So it was mind-boggling, because therapists and doctors and all will tell you that you can't get off of it. You're going to be on life for this for life. And doctors write prescriptions, and then you go to therapists for the relationship of what are you doing? How do you help yourself? I was blessed to have a therapist who I talk about my first book that helped me and guided me through what I needed to do. But mama was the one that gave me the confidence to go forward. I gave you the confidence, not how are you going to go forward. So we had date nights. And when I say date nights, my mother remarried a year, so she had these special days that she set up times when we could, the ones who lived in Detroit, they were still there. We had candlelight dinners, and we would just talk about the person that was there. What are you doing to move forward? So to move forward means that you had to put the action plan in, and you had to live by it. So that confidence that she built that started when I was a kid, I always used to see it, even when I got in trouble, that you're going to get that punishment, but now I got to work on you. And I got to give you the confidence to know that you don't have to do that if it's coming to stealing or something like that, something petty. You don't have to do that to be the person that you are supposed to be. So I would say that this person will enjoy reading this passage about my relationship with my mother and the confidence that she gave me to move forward.
My goodness. That's amazing. You know, sometimes when you have those memories about your mother, it helps you through a lot of situations, whether they're related or not. You know, it's been many a times that I've been going through different things and she not be around, but I'll hear her voice in my head saying, okay, now what did I tell you? You know, and you know what, let's think about those things that I taught you to build upon. And it's always great to have that. And it sounds like you have that as well in your life.
Right.
And so I wanted to know, now that you have your first book, you have this book, I'm sure you're going to have some more books. Mm-hmm. How are you going to celebrate the legacy, so to speak? Are you going to, do more podcasts, interviews, more speaking engagements, more workshops? How are you going to continue the legacy of this thought of your mother?
Yeah, I am. I just retired from a full-time job. I'm working as consulting, doing other works where I have freed up some time to do the things I really want to do. And I am speaking more, and I have book signings set up, as well as workshops. I have a company, Coach Wynn, and I work with people in terms of how they can, as habit strategies, because my background dealt with a lot of habits just being a financial auditor and a financial literacy trainer, the people in tech would understand and how and they can continue to do that. I look forward to not just having the book signings and presenting. I'm working on a book called The Habit Effect now, but to put people in perspective of the world is big enough to just, you got to focus on you and a positive attitude. Don't get caught up in all this negativity. And it takes some work. It's going to take a lot of work for us to first fix ourselves and then be able to help others. There is a quote from Maya Angelou that says, once you heal, you go out and heal someone else. I'm not quoting it exact, but the point is that we're obligated to help others. And I think that with the skills and the opportunity that God has blessed me with, I want to go out and do more of it. And having these books, these tools, is a big part of it. It's a big plus.
Now, I know the audience want to know more how they can be able to connect with you, because this interview has been absolutely phenomenal. And what you are doing to continue on this legacy is powerful, because a lot of people stop after they leave a full-time job. They just usually they just stop, they retire, they just sit back and they, you know, with their grandchildren or what have you, and maybe take a, you know, travel. But you're continuing this thing on, and that alone speaks volumes. So I want you to be able to let the people know where they will be able to find you, because your story could resonate with so many people, and I want them to make sure they could be able to reach out to you and to be able to get their own autographed copy of the book, Dear Mom, which is going to be absolutely phenomenal. So yeah, let them know where they can be able to find you on social media.
Yes. Well, on social media, I'm on Facebook. My page is The Habit Effect, or you can find me at Michael Wynn, that's W-Y-N-N. My website is michaelwynn.com, michaelwynn.com. On Instagram and Twitter, I'm Coach Mike Wins, and that's W-I-N-S, like Wins. So I am easy to be found. If you put Coach Wynn in the social media, you should be able to find me, even spelled W-I-N or W-Y-N-N. And I am thrilled. I communicate with a lot of people, and I've had great conversations with people who I never met and look forward to meeting, and I have met many of them. So some way we'll connect. That's what this world is all about, is to keep building our successes together.
I totally agree. Michael, it's been such an honor to be able to connect with you, get to know more about you, and to work with you on this project. And I see the things that you are doing on social media. It's amazing to see people are really making and creating their own tables to sit at. They're not waiting for permission anymore to sit at someone else's table. They're not waiting for permission to be able to build their legacy. And you are absolutely, you're making it happen, and you're not doing it with anybody's permission. And unapologetically, you can't go wrong with that. So thank you so much. I am honored that you've seen this vision in the Dear Mom anthology. And it's been such a pleasure connecting with you. I'm loving it. And so you have a friend here for life now. You're stuck with me.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to express how I feel, and the opportunity of meeting, again, these amazing authors that I know is going to enjoy this time. For some that wrote for the first time, they're going to enjoy it. For some who is continuing to write, they're going to enjoy it, as well as their audience and their followers. So thank you for that opportunity.
Oh, you are so welcome. And I'm here in Chicago, so if you guys decide to have that book signing out there in Detroit, hello, yes, let me know.
All right.
I'm there. I'm a supporter. So I want to see you guys win. And that's, I love it. I just absolutely love it. So thank you once again.
Yes. Yeah.
And so Dr. Finch, please let the audience know where they can be able to find us all over social media. And this has been, man, this has been absolutely amazing. I mean, dang, Michael, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Yes, thank you so much. I definitely appreciate you being on the show as well. This was a phenomenal interview. And if you want to hear more interviews like this about the Dear Mom anthology, please, please, please find us on social media at Changing Minds Online. And of course, on Twitter at Change Mind Online without the E. And we will be bringing you great interviews like this and even more. So until next time, good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.